Psalm 86, here in your Bibles. It's good to see Joshua and Stephanie here tonight, Charles and Teresa's daughter and son-in-law here and their family traveling in. It's good to see you, family. We appreciate you and fellow servants of the Lord and just coming in from North Carolina. But rejoice in all God's goodness throughout the week. And we had a wonderful Sunday, Vision Sunday. Get my mic turned on here. I trust that if you were not able to be here either of those services, you go back and listen online because we had a special surprise on Sunday night. And I want to tell you, it was a very pleasant surprise. You know, sometimes surprises aren't so pleasant. But I like the pleasant ones, amen? And this pleasant surprise was we had two missionary families that were not scheduled, but came that evening. One was Brother Michael Garmy, reaching Farsi-speaking people, the Muslim, predominantly Muslim community. He was a Muslim at one time, and in Australia he got saved. His family's from Iran, and he gave testimony about most of his family. His mother, his father, and many others have now come to know Jesus Christ. And so it was just a special time. He showed the video. I wonder if we couldn't show it again sometime for those that missed it. But it is just such an encouragement to see what God's doing in Turkey and other Islamic nations, that God is just making breakthroughs. And then we had Matt Cook, our missionary to Australia. He came with his family. They were already in the area. And so he gave a short testimony and encouraged us there. They're getting close. You can pray for them. In fact, during prayer time tonight, we need to be praying that they would be able to get their visa and by this spring. They're really praying that that would be able to come to pass coming up here soon. But it was a blessing. We had just a sweet spirit there. And if you have not received your vision bags, we encourage you to do that tonight. They're back on the table. They have the church calendar and directory and our theme bracelets and things of that nature for you to have. And I hope you'll take advantage of that and be encouraged. I am so thankful for each of you. I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing in your life. And I'm just excited about what God's going to do this year. I believe 2023 is going to be a wonderful year of serving Christ. And it could be the year our Lord comes. And we want to be ready. Amen. I want Him to find, my prayers that He'll find Crooked Creek Baptist Church serving faithfully, growing in the Lord, and seeking to do more than we ever have before. And I believe that we're on the right track. I believe God's doing a work. Our theme verse is John 3:30, and it says that He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's say that together. John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that is exactly our goal and prayer every day of the Christian life, but we are giving special attention to what exactly that means and how we can see that lived out daily in all of our lives. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show us, church. I really believe that. And I'm praying that the Spirit of God will take us deeper than we've ever been before in our walk with Him and our love for Him. And I can see Him doing it already, and for that we give Him praise. Well, I do want to announce tonight something you already know, but I'm just going to announce it again just to, for it to be fresh in our hearts and minds, because over the next five Wednesdays, I'm going to be giving special attention to it. But we do have special revival meetings coming up February the 12th through the 16th with evangelist John Van Gelderen. And we are praying that God would use this week of meetings in a very special way in our church. I do believe, I'm a firm believer in the gift of the evangelist. God gifted the church with pastors, teachers, which I think is fulfill the same role there, and then evangelist. And what the evangelist is gifted to do is to come into the local church and preach forth the Word of God to help give us a renewing, a stirring, and a restoration of spiritual vitality. And so what we got to do is be prepared for it. And so the next several weeks, with the Lord's help, I want to be preaching and teaching on the subject of revival. And that 86, this is one of the most, I think one of the classic passages on revival. At least it does express to us what true revival looks like from the heart of David, the psalmist. The Bible says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." Do you hear his desperation? Do you hear his need? It says, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications." And he says here in verse 7, "In the day of trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." You see, what we have here is a man that was seeking God for revival. He was seeking God to bring a renewal and a life-changing spirit in his life, and also for the nation of Israel. We're going to look at a couple things tonight, but I just want to give some focus here on just a moment on what exactly is revival according to the Word of God and what it's not, what many may say. You know, there are some misunderstandings about revival, as you can imagine. There is a lot of testimonies and things that you've heard, perhaps on television or reading in books, that truly, I believe, give revival a bad name. But it doesn't mean that we stop longing for the real thing. One of those is misunderstandings is that some people look at revival as simple emotionalism. Now, I'm going to tell you, revival is going to involve emotion. There's no question about that. When God brings revival to a people, there's a stirring in the area of repentance and renewal and brokenness and humility and return and joy and exuberance. There's going to be emotions with that. Would you say amen? I mean, that's just the truth. But you can have emotion without revival. I mean, for instance, I mean, think upon all these fans that go to the football games and the others. I mean, they got a lot of emotion, but it doesn't mean they're having revival. Now I know I say that, and you would think that there was probably a lot of Georgia Bulldogs having revival on Monday night. By the way, I'm glad the Dogs pulled that one out, aren't you? Oh, man, that was a good game. And I enjoyed watching it. And but you know, you can have, you truly can. You can have emotion. And there are churches out there that will have tons of emotion, and they're not really having revival. They're not having a change of heart. It's kind of like the fireworks, you know. You shoot them off, and then they're gone. But I do believe that biblical revival will bring a long-lasting change. That's what we want. We're not here about emotionalism, although we know emotion's going to be present in that, and it's going to be involved. And you know, it's not even, some people relate revival to just a bunch of people in one spot. Well, again, you can use the same illustration. Just because you have a lot of people in one area doesn't mean you're having revival. That's not necessarily, it can involve that. It's definitely not of strange things. Now, there have been in charismatic movements some strange things that people call revival. You may have heard of it. There was even a revival called the Barking Revival. or people were barking down at the altar, and it's the most bizarre thing. And they were saying that was a move of the Holy Spirit upon His people. There is not people laughing like hyenas. It's not people. You've watched some of these televangelists or whatever, and they call revival when people are convulsing uncontrollably. Listen, if you're ever in a service like that, the best thing you can do is get up and run the other way. Okay, the other way. Don't participate in that, because that is not revival. You know, and another thing is that goes with us, that I think independent Baptists can fall into this trap very quickly, is that revival is not just holding special meetings. You know, because we can, you know, put, and we should, you call it revival meeting. I think that's good. We do. You kind of give people a way to identify what we're about to have or try to have or seek to have. But the idea is you cannot schedule Spirit-led revival. Now, I'll say this, though. What you can do, and what I hope we'll do, is this. I hope that we will long for revival. I hope we'll pray for revival. I hope that we'll expect revival. I hope and pray that that's what exactly we're going to do. We're going to seek after it. And as we follow the pattern of the Word of God, that is the pattern of revival. God's people do seek after it. There is a preparation, if you will. And God meets that, and He's the one that breathes life, just like He breathed life into Adam. And made him a living soul. It is the Lord God who breathes into His church, the bride of Christ, that life-giving power that will help us go forth and do what He's called us to do. Because that's what the purpose of revival is so that we can meet our full potential in Christ. That's it. God wants us to reach our full potential in Jackson County. And in order for that to happen, we have to do our part and say, God, just show us what we need to do. We want it. And I believe that's what we see in the heart of this psalmist here. He obviously was crying out to God for a revival. Now, I want to just to point out a few things here. What is the primary meaning of the Old Testament term revival? And the psalmist would say, "Wilt thou not revive thy people again, O Lord?" That's what we need to ask ourselves. What did the psalmist mean by that? Well, the word revive in the Old Testament means to simply recover. To recover. It means to return to God and His standard. That's a key element there. In the New Testament, it means life again, the word re meaning again, and the word vive meaning life. It's re-life. And it's specifically for people that already have life. People that have been born again. They have new life in Christ. But what happens to all of us, there are times that we get lukewarm. And we get weak spiritually. And there needs to be a stirring. There needs to be a reviving in our life. And I like what one writer said. Jesus, the Bible says in John 14:6 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if Jesus is the life, and He is, read Jesus or doing this, is saying Jesus again. Jesus again. Vance Havner said this, "Revival is the church falling in love with Jesus all over again." Just a fresh, renewed, dedicated love for Jesus on areas that it's grown weak in. It takes a concerted effort on the part of God's people, does it not? Now, as I mentioned, reviving something that is dead is impossible. Reviving something that is completely dead is impossible. For instance, when God talks about the lost humanity is dead and trespasses and sins, their problem is not to be, their need is not revival. Their need is to be made alive. So the ones that are in need of revival are the ones that have existing life. We can be revitalized, and praise God, we need to be. Every one of us. And there are people that that this idea of being revitalized and revived, there are people who are not necessarily near death. They're not on the verge of death, but there's a great need of restoration and renewal. And that's where we ask God in prayers, like, Lord, show us those areas. And a lot of times He already has. But we pray, say, Lord, show us those areas. Because even the psalmist cried out to hear. He said, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful to me. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. He knew the Lord was ready to forgive him of the sin that was in his life. We see that as the psalmist's heart and prayer. But we know that there is a restoration that is needed in our lives. Now, let's be honest. There are things in your life right now that you used to be stronger in your Christian life than you are now. And there needs to be is a restoration there. Doesn't mean necessarily it's completely dead, but it needs some life. True revival is a fresh and acute awareness of the manifest presence of God. Would you agree that God is omnipresent? Would that be a correct statement? It is. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. But God does not always manifest His presence. He does not always give a special manifest of His presence, which I believe He desires to. But I do believe there has to be certain things in place for Him to show forth His manifest presence. In other words, we know that God will manifest Himself when people come to Him truly asking for forgiveness. When we come genuine and sincere, when we come to Him knowing that we're not trying to hide sin, knowing that we're not trying to cover anything up, that God will manifest His presence when people are in place and are hungry and thirsty for Him. And that's what we want here at Crooked Creek Baptist. That's what I want in the Jennings residence. And I hope that's what you want in your residence. You want the manifest presence of God. That's nothing spooky, folks. It's just, again, it is a fresh and real awareness that God is in this place. God's hand is on my life and on my family, not to boast in, but God is with us. He's helping us. He's leading us. He's dealing with us. God is active. Amen? That's what we long for. You see, there is new life breathed into that which is sick or again, near death. And revival denotes resuscitation, rekindling, restoration. The fire is going down and there's still life there. There's still coals burning. Those of you that are burning fires already, or burning fires this season, I should say, you leave it too long, it dies down, but it doesn't take much to get it going again once you give it the attention it needs. Well, folks, that's revival. The areas that have grown down to just maybe some coals, and you're like, oh God, I want to get the flame back. I want you to have your way in this area of my life. And there's a rekindling that takes place. Most of you, I don't know, I shouldn't say most of you, but many of you here tonight may be aware of a recent scare, and the National Football League took place just about a week and a half ago on Monday Night Football. where Buffalo Bills receiver Damar Hamlin went into cardiac arrest. And I was watching it, and I want to tell you, it was a scary moment. It was unprecedented, really, and never had it happened in the history of the National Football League. And I'd never seen an ambulance come out on the field. And so basically what happened is everything just completely stopped. Everything just stopped. And all the attention was on that young man. I say young man, I think he's 23 or 24 years old. But the fact of the matter is, and rightly so, all the attention was on him. And what took place next, thank God, there was the first responders there. I believe one of the assistant trainers on the team was there to give CPR and resuscitate him and saved his life. And it was just a really scary situation. And I'm thankful for the first responders that were there, and I'm thankful for all the prayers of God's people, because I believe all Christians, when they saw this, I hope all Christians, and I believe they were praying, God help this man to live, especially if he doesn't know Christ, and that he would come to know Christ. And the last I heard, Damar was just almost left and went off into eternity, is now out of the hospital. He went there and just again, just with the medical staff and all of those things going on, we're able to get him rehabilitated, and now he's home. He's going to be going through a lot of therapy, I'm sure. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what God did in preserving that man's life. But can I, for the sake of illustration, can I relate to the spiritual realm? When it comes to the same thing and happens when God's people are near death in their spiritual lives, and it may not be every area, it may just be a couple areas, what needs to happen right at that time is everything else must become secondary. You see, the only thing that was the thing that was primary and the most important thing was getting that man some help. That's all that mattered. You know, I was just thinking about, I give a shout out to the ESPN analysts there that were during that time. I mean, I think they did a great job, because there was no script for that, friends. It was, they had to respond from their heart on what was taking place. It was real. It was raw. And, but I tell you another thing too. I'd never heard ESPN talk about prayer so much in my life. I was glad to hear about it. In fact, I didn't see this, but somebody said there was one analyst that actually prayed on air. I praise God. I mean, I use that to this illustration that all the focus was on him. And this is what I believe with all my heart. In order for us to really be revived in areas that we're growing weak in spiritually, and it might even be blind spots, you may not even realize that you are on the brink of death somewhere spiritually in your life. You may not even realize it, but I want to tell you what right now. Everything else needs to become secondary. And for us to seek God and say, God, we want to be a church that is revived. And whatever you got to do, God, to do that, we're asking you to bring it. And Lord, I'm putting my heart on the line. That's the prayer. And we are not only does everything become secondary, but then there's a great concern and effort that must be given to, for what? For Jesus to revive His bride. You ever thought about that? That Jesus wants a revived bride? He wants a bride that's living well and just fulfilling her purpose while here on earth. And He wants her to be functioning in full power. Amen. And I believe we can. Are there areas in your life that need reviving? You know, I really believe that this thing of revival too is it really must start off personal. Like I know we need to pray for our church to have revival, but what I want to encourage each of us is to pray, Lord, I need revival. And ask the Lord to show, Lord, where is it in my life where I'm not fully committed to you like I should be? Areas that need to grow. Areas that need to be tended to. I like what Arthur Wallace said about revival. He said, revival is God revealing himself to man in awful holiness and irresistible power. It is God's method to counteract, I like this, it's God's method to counteract spiritual decline and to create spiritual momentum in order that his redemptive purpose might be accomplished on earth. Did you catch those two terms there? It's to counteract spiritual decline and to create spiritual momentum. And what we're asking God to do in this week of meetings, and even what I'm asking God to do is even before the evangelist gets here. One evangelist told me, I think it was Ron Comfort that told me this one time. He said, Brinson, a lot of times we'll go into a church and let's just say the meeting goes through Friday. He said, it'll take till Wednesday or Thursday before there starts to be a real spirit of revival in the people. And the week's almost over. He said, what the difference I can tell as an evangelist, and this is a man that's been preaching in evangelism for over 50 years. He said, I can tell immediately when I step on campus and step into that service whether or not the church has been preparing for revival. He said, it was already started. I came in and started preaching, and God, there was liberty. The people were hungry. There was clarity in the air. There was just a hunger saying, God, help us. God, raise us up and help us to be what you've called us to be. I heard once somebody say, most churches will go without revival because they're content to live without it. I don't want that to be the testimony of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Do you? No. We don't want to be content without it. And one thing that is mysterious about revival is that we're not here to put a label on it in the sense of exactly what it's going to look like. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, folks. He's going to give you revival in perhaps a way that he doesn't give me. But I tell you one thing, it will all look the same, and it will make us all look more like Jesus. It will make us all look more like Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we allow him to have his work, and it's all going to be in different areas of our life in different ways, and it will be beautiful. It will be marvelous. And can I say this, just to put this out there, evangelism is not revival, although it is always a fruit of revival. Some may say, well, so many people getting saved, that's revival. Not necessarily. That's evangelism. And people can get, you can have people saved in a service and God's people still be cold and carnal. Because the Word of God's going to have its power. But what we're talking about right now is that which is already living. That's me and you. You see, we had the opportunity to go to the aquarium on Tuesday, and it was a great experience. I'm sure most of you have already been. I felt kind of bad or ashamed that I've been here going on 7 years and I hadn't made it to the aquarium yet, but I got it off the list. I checked it off, and I want to tell you, I was not disappointed at all. It was really fascinating and amazing. And so we, Joanna and the whole family, we took all four kids and It was a great experience for all of us. And I want to tell you, the night before, my kids, boy, I couldn't settle them down for anything. They were excited. I think they were more excited about us taking bag lunches than they were seeing a great whale shark. They just, something about a picnic lunch. Anybody else's kids like that, about a picnic? If you can say about a picnic, man, that's all they need to hear is, we're going to have a picnic. And I said, we're going to have a picnic in the car, because we ain't paying $15 for that hot dog, all right? But with all seriousness, we did. We went, and it was as we walked into the aquarium and saw the whale shark, and man, those manta rays going around in that aquarium, and the exotic fish that we were able to see, and the educational program part of it. It was all really good and quality. But I want to tell you, it just reminded me that those kids, the anticipation of going to the aquarium was great. It was high level. And I believe what needs to happen on a spiritual level for revival upon our hearts. Just anticipate it. Long for it. Pray for it. Seek it. Expect it. Expect God to meet with us. And we agree with that in prayer. And it's going to be beautiful, church. I don't know how it's going to look, but I'm expecting it, and I believe the Lord's going to do it. I like what Harold Vaughn said. Local churches are not predetermined. Local churches do not have a predetermined function to be spiritual igloos, cold, rigid structures with stiff saints. We're not predetermined, and that's one of the things that stood out to me in this area of revival. As you know, we studied in Sunday school about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, on the specific will of God, and we learned two phrases. You have the determinative will of God. Determinative will of God. But then there's also the non-determinative will of God. And that basically speaks of God allowing human choice, human will, to have a part in His will to be accomplished. And I don't believe for one moment that we can expect a revival in our life and in this church if we're not willing to step forward and do our part. And so tonight, my challenge to you is this: as we begin this study, and not just this study, but as we begin seeking God's face specifically for that week of revival, saying, Lord, I want to do my part. And whatever that entails, God, whether it be my time in prayer, my time in confession, my time in repenting, my time in just seeking Your Word, that whatever it entails, Lord, I want that to be true in my life. So God wants His people to be revived. The question is, do we want revival? You know, I think upon that verse, Hebrews 11:6, that says, he that cometh to God must believe what? That He is. And then it says, and that He is a rewarder of who? Of them that what? Not just seek Him. God, there, what was for us to understand is that God wants us to put forth effort in going after Him. And be excited about it. Jeremiah said something very similar to the children of Israel. God said it through Jeremiah. He says in 29:13, He says, ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me with what? With all your heart. I believe God's going to do it, church. And I believe it doesn't take a It's the here and now. And I trust that the Lord will help us to be united in our effort. And you know, I'm going to, Lord willing, put forth a prayer chain for our church. In the coming days, you may see an email here in the coming days where you could perhaps even sign up for a day for prayer and fasting. I'll talk more about that in the days to come, you know, the aspects of prayer and fasting. But nevertheless, I think we all can have a part and in our having personal revival and seeing the Lord do a mighty work. Would you pray with me?